everyone, welcome back to EastEnders Weekly. This is your weekly podcast that isn't about classic EastEnders this week.
Shock, horror. And the main reason is we do not have time. It's been such a packed week. We've had five episodes this week.
Five. Multiple storylines.
Lots of storylines. And we just don't have time. But suffice to say, Peter got outclassed by his own mother selling fruit and veg.
And she then had a heart attack.
Yeah. So,
poor Lou Bill.
What's Pete doing wrong? We do not know. Why has he not had a heart attack yet? We may never find out.
Yes, I'm afraid we're far too busy. So, Classic EastEnders is on the back burner.
So, sorry for anyone who tunes in for that, but suffice to say, it will be back next week. And if you listen out for our feature, it's very heavily Classic EastEnders influenced.
Of course. Need the money? Right, we are discussing the episodes that were broadcast between the 11th and the 15th of February. So we've got loads of storylines this week because there's five episodes for unknown reasons.
Mm. I'm Alex, by the way.
You are. And I'm Ben, the alleged host. So we're starting off talking about the Hunter and Mel storyline this week. Jack's been involved.
Yeah.
I assume you don't like Jack still. I think he's been all right this week, actually.
No, tattletales. Not time for them. He's been asked for help. Loads of people in the past have asked him for help. We watched a couple of weeks ago an episode where Ronnie was asking for help and he was bending over backwards to help her out. I mean, if Jack's got an opportunity to have a bit of loving, let's just say, then Jack will help someone out. So I don't know what Mel has done to make him suddenly turn into a grass.
Mel's the bad one. She's been using him, ditched him one night for Ray when he asked to marry her. She then kills Ray and asks Jack for help again.
Well, she asks him for an alibi, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Which he duly gives her. And really, almost psychic powers by Jack, knowing exactly what to say and what happened that night.
That's right. Because Mel and Hunter want to run away, escape from the country. That's a TV show, isn't it? Escape from the country with Mel and Hunter.
Mel and Hunter looking for houses.
They apply for a place in the sun. Well, what's your reason for wanting to leave?
Location, location, location.
Divorce. So she wants to get out. She's obviously noticing Hunter's spiraling into...
Well, she's still drugging him. She's still drugging him. So the beginning of the week, you saw Hunter come downstairs going, I've slept really well again last night. I can't think of the reasons why. But that got dropped quite quickly because then Hunter found the money in... Ray's little money belt. It's like a money belt bag thing, isn't it? It's not quite a bum bag or a fanny pack, but it's not quite, it's like a clutch bag for a man.
It's masculine. It's
a man bag, I suppose. And inside is obviously Ray's passport, but also a bulk of money that Hunter has now decided he's going to spend on Louise because he wants to get Louise back on side. And Louise, being the easy lover that she is,
God's sake.
He basically was first of all like, oh, no, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I bought you a phone case. Oh. Keanu who?
Yeah, he like showed her like £50 notes and she's like, okay.
Yeah, I know, let's go shopping.
For sake, Louise.
She's so easily pleased, isn't Louise?
But yeah, they hear on the radio that a body has been found. Although last week we thought a dog found it, but it turns out the dog didn't find it. It was a metal detector.
Well, yeah, it was really odd that, because I thought that the owner of the dog would have been like, oh my goodness. But no, yeah, and there's a metal detector. So maybe
the dog like dug a bit up.
Ah, yeah.
So then that allowed the metal detector to... find Ray's rings or whatever it was.
Yeah, but does a metal detector detect rings? I'm not a metal detector person.
I don't know what Ray had in his pockets, do you?
Yeah, but it was his hand that was found. His hand was out of the ground.
No, it was his shoe, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. So it might have been the buckle on his shoe.
It wasn't the bullet, that's for sure.
No, because that's been dug out already by Hunter, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter thought he was being so clever. DNA.
Yeah. Hunter didn't... Hiding evidence 101, use gloves. Hunter didn't do that.
No.
So Hunter decided to pick it out with his own bare hands.
So that was silly. So they hear that, so that upsets Mel and Hunter. So she thinks, right, we've got to get out of here. She gets Jack to help.
So they start packing their bags to go away.
Yes, because Jack's an expert at this.
Yes, Jack's good at getting people private flights to Mexico. I mean, Jack gets other people to Mexico so often, I'm surprised he doesn't go himself.
And he even offered to drive.
He does. So Hunter's packed his Xbox and games.
Essential things only.
And
my Xbox, but no leads.
No, yeah, that's
just
it.
No
Joy-Con, nothing like that, just the Xbox. He could probably sell it off for a gun in Mexico. The hardware,
true.
Yeah. American hardware, they like that in Mexico.
But Jack's double-crossed them. Police start following them and he pulls over by the garages.
Yeah, I know. In a little side street, so no one can see what's going on. I think At first, I thought that Jack had originally planned this from the beginning. So he phoned the police and said, we're going down this route, follow us down the road, and then I'll pull over and you can take Hunter. But actually, I think it was a little less intelligent for Jack. I think he just found out that he got caught. And to save his own skin...
No, he had planned it because he said, the two guys I've got to come here, I trust them. And he said, they'll make it look like Hunter's handed himself in to us. So Mel... isn't like entrapped.
No, Jack was saving his own skin. He was saving his own skin, as always. Jack does.
I know you don't like Jack, but you still have to go with the actual storyline, not just make up your own storyline.
I'm not making up my own storyline. Jack was saving his own skin, and in typical Jack fashion, he then tried to cover it up a bit later on by saying, I was doing it for Mel, but behind Mel's back was like, that scum's going away now.
No, because the policewoman, who I really like, you don't like her, do you?
The detective?
Yeah, she reminds me of Judi Dench, but like, I find the B-list, her... Judi Dench.
It's when you buy for like £20 to come to parties. I don't hate her, like, on the level, on the scale of Jack, I put her as a... I don't know, a Louise. So not as much as Jack, but she worries me.
So Hunter, why did you hand yourself in? So Jack's mates did make it look like he handed himself in.
They kept their word.
Yeah, so he had planned it.
Yeah, but I don't think he planned. I don't think when he was driving it was planned. I think when he got pulled over.
That's why he offered to drive.
Yeah, but he had a few words with them, didn't he? Quietly, and Hunter was eyeing up the car keys and was thinking about driving away too. So I think Jack had always thought he was going to get them away, but
no, he didn't. He said he did it for Mel's own good because he knows that Hunter needs to be put inside because he's murdered someone.
Is that why you think that Jack perhaps didn't accept the 5% cut of the sale of E20?
Yeah,
because Mel offered it to him as a thank you.
What's happened with that? She signed that over. She sold it now.
Yeah, but she's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Loving it.
She's got no knives in the house. She's got no business to run anymore. Yeah, so Mel's kind of been left in the lurch. And Hunter's not very happy. He phoned her up later and was crying down the phone.
I know, he's not so tough, is he? Without his gun. No. He's not so tough. And she wants him to say she killed Ray, but he's standing by his mum and taking the rap for it all. And he's admitted to it all. But they're sort of on to Mel, and they've said to her, don't leave the country. You have to stay here. We need another statement from you. So I don't know how they're going to write this, that Mel doesn't go to, like, have something, because she's given an alibi for Hunter, but, saying they were out and stuff.
Yes, but they've also said that Hunter can't use Mel as a...
witness.
As a witness, yeah, or someone who can support her. It has to be someone else, because they're part of the plan. But
surely
together.
Mel must get in trouble for, like, lying...
lying to the police. Yeah, but
something.
So should Jack. And as always, squeaky clean Jack doesn't get in any trouble. Good old Jack.
I was looking on Scott Marston's Instagram. This has nothing to do with anything. But the same coat that he wears in real life.
Well, the mole skin.
The camel.
Looking, or the camel coloured
one.
That's
weird. And he wears the same polo top in real life. So that's actually his clothes. I just thought that was weird when I was looking at it.
No, it wouldn't surprise me if Scott Marston, because he's become a bit of a mainstay now, hasn't he? He probably just walks on set, does his lines.
He wears his own stuff.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not getting changed. I'm going to wear this. This is what Jack would wear. But, Mel is obviously going to get in some trouble over it. And Hunter...
But she wants to, like, say it's all her, because there's DNA on the body. Max is involved, which annoys me.
Well, again, Max is on his little pedestal, looking down at the world and telling everyone that they're wrong. Typical Max. Max is now... I mean, the Brannings are getting involved, and that's all we need to worry about. Because now the Brannings are involved, it means that it's going to just be ridiculous. Because they'll turn it all about it being Max getting upset about something, and Jack wanting Mel back, and...
I think I prefer Jack and Mel as, like, friends. They work better like that.
Well, I'd prefer Jack not there, to be honest with you, but then that's just me.
He's in France visiting Penny. So Penny got a mention, which is amazing.
Well, he's gone with Max, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And Rainey accused Max of having a bit more of an invested interest in Mel than just being a friend. Mm. So now, this is again, the Branning brothers.
Mm. Well, they had that thing. Remember, it was last year during someone's birthday and Rainey got jealous over Mel and Max as well, didn't she?
So. I mean, Rainey had a few jealousy moments because Max was keeping her out of the loop quite a lot this week. This isn't the first occasion when Max decides to go on holiday and not tell Rainey. There's another occasion, a bit later on we'll talk about, where Rainey was kept out of the loop again and was quite spiteful about it this second occasion.
That's right. Yeah, so Max has taken Jack because he wants Jack away from Mel. Mel's not allowed to leave the country, so she can't. So they're gone for like 3 months. I'm assuming Jack's gone as well. So
but that's what I mean. The Branning brothers have gone...
So we know Max is on a break.
The Branning brothers have gone away for a bit.
Yeah.
Well, the reason Max has gone for a break is obviously he's doing his podcast. He's doing a bit of a tour with it.
But he's taking Jack with him.
What do you think Scott Marsden's up to?
Instagram.
You reckon?
Yeah, tropical bodybuilding competition.
Maybe. Just slathering himself in oil.
And we also had like a weird thing at the end of the storyline where Mel decides to burn the money. I mean, burning the fake passport's okay.
Yeah.
If you want to. But why did she burn all that money?
I didn't get that either. I mean, I suppose having the money is a bit of a evidence toward her guilt, perhaps.
Didn't you shove it, like, in E20 safe or something?
No, because that's feel safe.
Yeah, but, like, you know, like, she could put it somewhere. In Jack's underwear drawer or something.
Woody might come and steal the money off her. Maybe that's what she's worried about. She'd rather burn it than give it to Woody to steal again.
But, yeah, that's how it ended this week with her. She was drinking from the bottle. And burning money and passports.
Well, she was burning alcohol, she was drinking alcohol.
She's worked out she can't save her son because he's got the DNA evidence.
But the detectives are adamant that there's more to it than just Hunter.
Mm.
So they've already said to Mel that, you know, we're going to carry on investigating even though Hunter's given a confession. So she's still not out of trouble just yet. And she's running around chasing people with scissors. She's having a great time.
Yes, she's going to kill Jack.
Well, no, she's calmed down now. Yes, that's what I mean. Max... stepped her down and explained that, you know. But it's just... sorry to go back to Max, but it's just his patronising comment when he was like, maybe you should stop accusing people of things. And it's like...
I know.
Max.
Yeah, I know. Why was Abby up on that roof for Max?
Yeah.
Whose fault was that?
What was Stephen doing in that burning restaurant, Max?
Yeah, and Abby nearly died in that restaurant because we got hit on the head.
Bonk. Ridiculous.
So yeah, Max... I'm glad Max is gone. I feel his time... is upon us.
He's grown a beard, and whenever a character grows a beard, it's meant to show a little bit of like growing up, isn't it, and more sophistication. So
unless they're poor, then it looks like.
Yeah, but Max isn't poor.
We'll talk about this later because it's just ridiculous. But that's the Masood and Kathy incident. But
yeah,
that is the most ridiculous thing.
Again, he had to borrow money from hundreds of different people. He was scratching and saving to just get the car.
Fish and chips in Vincent's house.
Yeah, making sandwiches every day.
Had to pretend he lived with Jack because he couldn't afford their own place.
But all of a sudden he has the money enabled to buy a deposit on something. Just. Nutty.
Stupid. So the next storyline we're touching upon is the Tiff Evie drug ganglord.
We learned a little bit more about Evie's back history this week.
A little bit, not as much as I still want to know a bit more, because there's like a bit of confusion, because we see Evie's putting pressure on the gang to bring in more money.
Yeah, they're not making enough money. No. The only one who is and who's really outshining everyone else is Tiff. Tiff is doing it.
You never
see
her selling
night.
Drugs though.
Yeah, but she doesn't
really seen her do it once yet.
She does it off the square, doesn't she? So anything that happens off the square stays off the square.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, she's like the top seller, and then Vix gets pushed out. She's out of the gang.
Yeah, no chicken for Vix.
Is this how the story is going to end? Like Tiff just gets pushed out one day. That's the end of the storyline.
Maybe because she's just I imagine it's going to be that Tiff has a revelation and realizes that this life isn't the life for her because. Tiff did say that she wanted to be like the top of the pack. She wants to be the boss. She said it to Jean, didn't she?
Evie also said to her, you could be as good as me one day, if not better.
And Tiff took those words and embraced them. She wants to be like the assistant manager role of the drug trade in Wolford.
Like the mother hen. She's got a heart.
Heart of gold.
Because she sees Evie with a guy. They're sort of like walking arm in arm, but he kisses her, bites her lip and tells her she needs to be tougher and bring more money in. So some people thought, is that her boyfriend abusing her? But I thought they have this weird thing in that gang where you seem to kiss each other. So I don't think he is a boyfriend. I think he's just an elder up of her.
Well, they all kind of just kiss one another and it's quite like some weird thing.
So I don't think that is Evie's boyfriend. I think it's just someone who is above her.
Oh yeah, we've learnt from Jagger that Evie was above Jagger. So there's always someone bigger than better than you, isn't there?
Yes.
We also saw that the burns on her arm, there were marks, cigarette burns, and at first when she first revealed them on her sleeve, when she lifted her sleeve, you thought that might be Evie. She feels a bit sad, a bit depressed, so like this really
isn't you're
her.
Not sure if they're like self-harm or if it's like the people above her doing, because she tried to burn the guy who she kicked down the stairs.
That's right.
So is that like another unknown rule of the gang?
Well, it's a way of just, it's torture, isn't it? It's a way of persuading someone to do what you want them to do. I mean, Evie has already shown signs with Tiff that she's able to persuade Tiff to do things that she wants her to do. Tiff mimics that. And so it's kind of carrying down like that. So Evie burnt that lad with or threatened to burn the land with cigarettes. So perhaps
that's
already
been done to her. And she like put her nails into Tiff once, and yeah, similar sort of things. So that's the thing, you know. There's always someone above you in a gang.
And also, in any soap, there's always symbolism, because this all happened on Valentine's Day.
Mm.
And when Tiff watched it happen,
oh, yeah.
Someone's heart fell into the puddle. And was
someone trod on it.
And trod on it. Symbolism was hard in that one.
I liked that we had a few scenes with Whitney and Tiffany.
Yeah.
Just a note there, because they hardly actually, ever...
Well, Whitney actually taking a parental role, which was a nice change.
And an interest, but Tiff's still lying to her and saying she's going to the cinema with Bernie, so you can't come. Because they're busy making babies.
That's right. Another little sign. That
Whitney's like, how do you know? Actually, yeah, you're right. Okay. Bit of insight there.
Yeah, so halfway and Whitney is still trying.
That's another thing I want to note. I know you're listening out there, someone, because they now are calling him Callum, not Halfway. That was one of my things. And they took his hat off last week. It's two of my things, that is.
Two?
Yeah. I wanted his hat off. They took his hat off. After Mel's wedding. And then I wanted them to call him Callum. Tiffany called him Callum.
Well, why don't you say something which is really obvious if they should do it? Say, okay, this... Right, if anyone...
Have an extra walk by and wink.
Directly at the camera.
I want someone to wink at Shrimpy on the market stall. A female.
But it has... Okay, and what about Shrimpy reacts and winks back?
Yeah.
But it can be in the background?
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be a little hint for us. It'll be a little nod to us. If that happens...
Wink twice if you're listening.
That's it. Hashtag wink twice if you're listening. So if anyone's listening out there, we would like someone to walk past Shrimpy, give him a wink, and then Shrimpy to wink back. But not main scene, just something that happens in the background. Back. And if
I'll
it happens,
watching.
I swear we'll have a klaxon go off on that episode. We'll go mad.
But yeah, there were nice scenes with the two sisters. That's nice. Their relationship still exists.
Yeah.
And then we also saw Tiff see Evie crying, and she sort of comforted her, and she put her arm around her, and Evie didn't push her off or anything.
No,
so.
She wanted to be, yeah. Mm. I think Evie does see
a bit of love.
Tiff, yeah, not as a relationship, though. No. I think she sees her more of a sisterly kind of sister who
friend.
You kiss. But, you know, yeah, like a friend, like someone who's very close to.
Mm.
Again, it's just...
like a sorority in America. Isn't it? Like a university sorority.
And what, in order to get
gang,
you have to sell drugs.
Ted's flat is the sorority house.
Tedder, Gamma, Tedder.
And then we had her sort of carry on, and she wasn't getting a phone call from her, and she kept phoning her all the time and wanting to know if she was okay. And
Bernie was very aware as well that Tiff is still, and Tiff says, why haven't you gone to the police? And Bernie says, well, I just wouldn't rat a friend. And Tiff is like, oh, I knew you still cared for me. And so, again, Tiff
in
is...
your dreams. Oof. That's what Bernie said.
I know. But in Tiff's mind, she always likes to know that she has a little bit of a
attachment. Yeah, if she needs
attachment.
To fall back, she can.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep her at arm's length.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it seems like Bernie's... That's
Bernie
it.
Looks like she's had enough, because she spotted Dennis giving Tiff money as well, and she was disgusted that someone so young, she was getting Tiff...
Yeah,
Tiff
first
was getting
rat,
Dennis involved.
Now Dennis. Mm.
And Sticks. Not Sticks. Wicks.
Vix.
All these different names.
I miss Bunhead. She was my favourite.
I miss Sloth. Sloth is the one I miss.
Oh yeah, I love her.
The one who kept...
Well, that's not her official name.
I know it isn't. But the one you get whispering behind her hand. Her long claw
hand. The one who
hand.
Filmed Dennis in the pit.
Yeah.
I love her.
But she had that long fingered hand. Hence the name Sloth. So yeah, I mean, Tiff and Evie will be carrying on with them. I think is this a sign that they're softening Evie? And again, Evie might get out. And this might introduce Evie as a more of a mainstay character.
I don't think so.
I don't think they
She's
could.
She's filming in an indie film in America, so that's all it is for me.
That's it. This is this story. I mean, it'd be nice for her to leave on a nice note. And that her.
It's nice to round her off a bit and know that she's not this hard-faced cow.
That's right.
So there you go. So next up, we have a feature which we do every now and then. Where we look back, if a character's returning from a big gap, we fill in that gap for you.
And it's called This Is Your Life.
This is your life.
It's time to travel back and say hello to some old friends. Next week, we have two characters who are returning to the square.
And after a big gap.
After a huge gap. A very big gap.
Mm.
Mind the gap, they might say in London.
A bigger gap than Wilmot Brown's gap.
It is a bigger gap than Wilmot Brown's gap, because Wilmot Brown left after these
exactly.
and came back before them.
So they've taken his record off of him.
Oh, I see. Oh, there's a record, is there, out there?
Yeah, he had the biggest gap between appearances, and now they've taken it.
Now they've got a bigger gap than he's got.
Who are we talking about?
Well, first of all, we should tell people that this is your life.
This is your life.
So, on this part of the show, we basically talk about characters that are returning, and we just give you a bit of background information about the characters, so you can feel like you already know them when they return. Yeah. We did it with Dr. Legg when he came back. Mm-hmm. We did it with Mel. No, we didn't do it with Mel.
We missed Rainey.
We did Rainey when she came back, but we missed Mel. That's a bit mean. I remembered that. And these two who are returning are original characters, essentially. They are from the beginning of EastEnders time.
Spoiler alert.
Well, we
Dr.
Must...
Legg has died.
Well, they know that because they've just watched the episode.
Yeah, well, that's why they're returning.
Oh, okay.
For the funeral.
But that's not... Yeah, well, that's not much of a spoiler that Dr. Legg's died. More of a spoiler that these two are returning, if you don't read any of the news. Although we must say, this week we're not doing an EastEnders Classic Roundup, but the stories that we're going to talk about will be in EastEnders Classic soon. So if you don't want to know them, I would suggest you don't listen to this part of the show, because this could be a spoiler alert.
Spoiler warning from something that happened 30 years ago.
It is a spoiler warning from that time. However, it's something
What an age we live in.
It's something that we need to be aware of, because obviously a lot of people are watching EastEnders Classic on Drama Channel with fresh
eyes. And
now
I've had to spoil it for myself.
Yeah.
So I hope you're all happy. Well,
you knew all this anyway. Don't act the fool around us.
Basically, Punk Mary needs the money. So that's it.
Oh, okay. And that was This Is Your Life. This is your life. No.
I want to know if she still needs the money in 2019.
Well, we'll find out. But first of all, let's talk about Lofty. Because one of the first characters that are coming back is Lofty, also known as Lofty Holloway or George to his non-friends.
To his aunt.
Or to his aunt, yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, she was great. She's died.
It's funny because I really didn't like Lofty in like the first year or so. Though the second I started liking Lofty, because he's such like a downtrodden, no one really takes him seriously, do they?
Yeah, I mean, every time he comes out with something half intelligent, people are just like, oh, because it's from Lofty, it doesn't really show any weight. Yeah.
And I remember the first time I really thought, oh no, I do like you, Lofty, is when Michelle stood him up at the wedding. And before that, when he asked Simon Wicks if he'd be his best man, and he was really like shy and coy about it because he hasn't really had friends before.
Yeah.
And that was from that moment I thought, oh, actually, no, you're a really sweet character.
I mean, Lofty was always unlucky in love, and he always wanted just to have a family and have people to love him and for him to share his love with them too. But unfortunately, Michelle Fowler never really reciprocated that love back. Yeah. She always saw him as a convenience, that's a better word. And you mentioning about Simon Wicks and his friendship, I just thought they don't really have that friendship anymore. It seems to have just been...
pitted out. Yeah. But they worked together in the Dagmar a bit later as well. So that's quite nice.
I mean, he has many jobs. He works as a barman, obviously, at the Vic. And he's a mechanic because he was in the army, but he got chucked out of the army because of his asthma. And he's at the moment becoming a house husband because he wants to have a child, another kid with Michelle. Michelle keeps kind of putting it off, but she does eventually become pregnant with Lofty's baby, but devastates him by aborting it. At first, keeping it a secret, but then he finds out, and this basically...
That's the beginning of the end of his character.
This
then,
ruins
sadly.
Their relationship, absolutely. Yeah.
It's quite a horrible end for him as well. Like, it's quite nice that he's coming back, because like his last scene of him just moping out of the square to no one, and so it's quite nice that he gets this, and hopefully he's done well, and
I mean, there's been stories coming out that he does have a triumphant return to the square when he comes back. But as you said, when he left the square kind of with a tail between his legs and a lot of characters, and he's almost just a kind of like a no fireworks went off for him leaving. It was just like he just kind of skunked away, and that was the end of his story. And it was a bit sad, really. His story was always, as you say, that he always just wanted to be loved. And
he's kind
of
like an old soul, but he was trying to be like a modern man, but really he was like traditional. Like, he tried to read books and
he was quite
like
intelligent
that.
Really. Yeah. He would always go to the diary, he'd always have a book on something, and he'd be really switched on about any subject. If he wanted to learn a subject or know something, he would... He'd really try to learn it, and he'd pick it up from every angle and then know everything you need to know about it. But that kind of almost moved him away from social occasions too, because a lot of people saw that as a... almost as an arrogance that he would talk down. He wouldn't talk down to them, though. He would just always want to... them to be involved with the interest that he has, in each, but he wasn't able to do it in a very encouraging or encompassing way. He would almost do it in a kind of, I'm telling you this kind of way.
He's very sweet. He always tried his hardest to better himself, but no one ever really took him seriously or listened to him, or he was never quite good enough. So yeah, he was a lovely character, really. I did grow to love him.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he has gone away and done better things for himself, obviously. Next week, we will find out. When they were developing the character, funnily enough, there was shouts of plagiarism by some of the Coronation Street lot.
Was it Halfway?
Up north, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a scene of Halfway in Lofty as well, isn't there? I know,
looking forward to that.
Do you reckon the whole world will just collapse around us when they basically...
Son?
Yeah. Because they said that he was very similar to Curly, the character of Curly that was introduced to Coronation Street 2 years prior.
Who's Curly?
Exactly. What's Coronation Street? No one knows.
I mean, he hasn't been acting either with Tom Watts, the guy who plays him. He sort of left acting and did like radio and sports, didn't he, and writing.
Well, he was the ghostwriter for David Beckham's biography.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of sports radio, and he's well up for his football. I think he does a bit of commentating. And he does a podcast, I believe, as well about football. I know. Yes. So he's done all right outside of it. Coming back, John York said that he wanted to bring back some iconic characters for Dr. Legg's farewell. So he's obviously brought Lofty back, and he's brought back a second character too. But before we go forward with that, we just have to say that he was commented in saying that he has nothing but good memories from his time on EastEnders, and it would be lovely to set foot back in Albert Square after all these years. I wonder if anything would have changed to him, or it would just feel like putting on an old coat and...
Yeah, by the sounds of it, it sounds like Lofty has a lot more to do than Mary. He has a lot more development in the episode, by the sounds of it. But yeah, they were both very happy to come back for Dr. Legg's goodbye, because they're really good friends of him in real life, so they were happy to put on their acting shoes again and give it a go.
I mean, so as we said, the second coming back is Mary.
Baby Annie.
But Baby Annie is also returning.
Baby Annie's back.
I'm not sure if Baby Annie's coming at the same time.
She is, next
week. Oh, she is.
Same episode, yeah.
Fantastic.
New actress, not the same baby.
Not the same baby, Abby. We know that Linda Davidson is actually very good friends still with the little girl who played Baby Annie. Not a little girl anymore.
No, because she was friends with the mum on set.
Mm.
And she said they kept in touch, and her and Annie like go for coffees and stuff still.
Oh wow!
So yeah, I mean, exclusive for you all there.
I can't believe that Baby Annie's mum was much use on set, because every scene that Baby Annie is in, she cries and screams. Oh, she was awful. She had a terrible time though, traumatized.
Yeah, I mean, Punk Mary was, you know, even if she was a character in today's show, she's such a dark storylines that she had, like one after the other of really quite. Like, you do love Mary, but she makes it difficult to love her as a character.
Yeah, she doesn't let anyone... It's almost like the polar opposite of Lofty, where Lofty was trying to let people into his world and people were rejecting him. People were trying to go into Mary's world and she was rejecting them.
She would.
And she just wouldn't take any help from anyone.
She thought she knew it all. She knew everything about life.
Yeah, but she had the whole weight of the world on her shoulders as well, but she wouldn't share it with anyone. No. Apart from Arthur, there was that kind of special bond between her and Arthur. Arthur understood her. And she understood Arthur.
Yeah, and her and Dot kind of have like a love-hate thing as well going on. But yeah, I mean, she had so much. She got into stripping.
She did stripping, prostitution.
Prostitution, then drugs.
Yes.
Then Baby Annie got taken away. Then he got her set on fire. Her house got decorated a lot.
She did. She broke windows. That flat was destroyed from the inside out.
She was sleeping with Mehmet.
Well, she slept with Mehmet, then destroyed his life. I mean, Mary held grudges. That's something you have to always remember. Do not cross Mary, because she will hold that grudge.
I mean,
she
was great because she was so feisty, and you know, back then people tried to just tread over women, and she really didn't stick. You know, she didn't take any nonsense from anyone. So she was great in that way.
Mm. When she was first introduced to the soap, she was very shy and very nervous, and she got locked out of her flat the very first, and so she was sat on the bench for 8 hours, and and she gained confidence very quickly. Mm. And she did become quite one of the community, even though she didn't really want to be part of the community. She did become one of them. And so everyone was really concerned for her, especially Sue, who took a very special interest in Annie. throughout her time on the square. Well, quite. Because obviously Sue Osman had lost her child, and then she became
baby
a bit
obsessed.
She became a bit baby obsessed, but Annie was almost special to Sue. Mm. And Punk Mary, or Mary as she saw that in Sue, and so deliberately kind of kept Annie at arm's length from Sue the whole time, which really caused a bit of a torn relationship between them both the whole time.
And she had a really horrible upbringing. You learn loads about her upbringing, Mary's. She never learnt to read, and the dear old Andy taught her to read before he passed away.
Yes. Andy was obviously the husband. Well, not husband, sorry. They weren't married. They had an open relationship.
Debbie. Debbie. And, but yeah, you learn how her mum, her family were very religious, and she didn't like that, and not quite sure what happened when she was younger. It's sort of alluded to that things happened within the church and things.
I mean, it was kind of gestured that her mother would kind of always want her punished for things. Mm. So she was almost seen as the runt of the litter, was Mary. And so when Mary had the opportunity to get away, she did. But unfortunately, she got away and then got herself pregnant, which then tied her down again and made her have to stick her roots into to a community.
Yeah. And then she found that community, and then mum and dad invaded that. So
well, her dad found her, and you can tell that she's the father's daughter, so he's always got that special space for her. But the mum is almost begrudging that she's got this good relationship with her dad, and constantly wants to take it away from them.
Big control freak, her mum, isn't she?
Big time.
Mary is someone who you can't control, because she's just off the wire.
I mean, she had the boyfriend Rod, Rod was a good influence on her, but unfortunately Rod starts to have enough of her and her attitude.
I mean, Rod likes to find women who need help, and I think he sort of Mary needed help when he was first there, but then he found someone else who needed more help, so
yeah,
he just went from, he was one of those who liked to
to be the crutch for a woman.
I mean Mary had one of the greatest exits.
She had a great exit.
She got to swear on TV and leave on a bus.
Well, not before she vandalised her dad's new haulage business.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, special note for her dad's truck, the big pink truck. I love that truck that he drives around in.
Iconic.
He tries to steal Annie one last time before any of this on a drunk Christmas Eve, and then drives into the wall of the house. And Mary can't really forgive him for that anymore, so she kind of packs up the job that he'd given her at the haulage company. Mm. As you said, jumped on a big red bus, gave two fingers up to the square, and then just went off into the sunset.
You'd be able to do that nowadays, will you?
And can you imagine Julia's theme playing? She sticks her finger up at everyone.
Someone has to edit that. But yeah, I mean, they're both back for Dr. Legg's funeral. So they're back for one episode, is what we know. Lofty's hinted that, you know, I'd quite like a possible return.
Mm.
But she's happy in her job. She did a few stage plays, Linda Davison, and she did a bit of TV, but then she sort of left that and focused on like the online world.
Well, she gained a qualification in computing, and as you said, she then was one of the first editors or creatives who worked on the BBC EastEnders website when it was still very young, when the internet.
That.
Yes, well, that was the good old days of the BBC. Like, you can't do anything on the BBC EastEnders website anymore.
You used to be able to dress up all the characters.
You could make your own stories. Yeah, you could do your own storylines and all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, she was behind that, and she did E4, and she did loads of things.
Yeah, E4. When the E4, which is a channel in the UK, first launched, she did the original website, and I remember that original website as well. It was really like kind of cool and modern at the time. Nowadays it'd just be any website, but at the time when you saw all the logos jumping around, all that lot, it wasn't like the websites you used to see in 1997 when you just had gif upon gif upon gif all over the page. It was a proper smart website.
So yeah, she sort of gave up acting, but she said she doesn't want to come back to acting, but she said yes to John York, and because they were such good friends with the guy who plays Dr. Legg. But she said as well, I've seen, she was really nervous about going back first time and she was worried if she'd miss her spot or her cue.
No.
But she said when she was back there, it just sort of clicked back into place. And she said, I could quite easily see myself getting carried away with this and going back. Yeah. But she says she loves her job too much, so.
Oh, that's fair enough. I mean, there's room for that now. There's room for... I'd like them to do this more often. They introduce characters, even if it's just for a week or something. Just have them pop in, say hello, and then pop back out again. Annie is obviously coming, and that would incline that perhaps Annie is now or might be a more permanent character. Introduced.
Original, technically.
Yes, that's true.
Should be with Martin when him and Stacey break up.
Because Martin was the same age as Annie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So that's interesting. They've cast her and recast her. So they didn't have to introduce her. So yeah, that is interesting that Annie's there. But I am looking forward to seeing them all, seeing what they've been up to.
Me too.
Will she raise her voice and snap at someone, or has she grown up, do you think?
I think she's mellowed. I presume she's mellowed.
She looks really friendly in the photos, and she's all happy. I know. Like,
but I'm sure something will be said and she'll be like, what do you mean? And then kind of storm off. I'm hoping she...
Shut up, Annie! Yeah.
Don't tell them, Annie! Or maybe that'll be the story. Maybe they've just come out of squalor. And she's like just put on some nice clothes that she just turned up from the charity shop or something. I mean,
maybe her and Annie have a fight and Annie's like, I'm moving back here, Mum.
Yeah. In the original flat that he used to live in. Trying to think who lives there now. I can't think.
Kush?
I think it might be the something like that. Flat complex. Who knows?
Go back and watch A Brief History of Warfare.
Yeah. Hint, hint. Listen to one of our old episodes. This Dr. Legg episode also, well, the funeral Dr. Legg episode is the final John York episode as well.
Yeah, big bang.
So this will be the end of one era and the beginning of the Kate Oates era.
Because the Ahmed sisters arrive.
Yes. So.
John York's done this cleverly. He's copied Ethel and the Slater funeral.
Exactly.
Mix.
So, exactly.
You know, that's sort of bookending his career because I know he was on EastEnders before then, but the Slater introduction episode was like his big. So he's bookended it kind of like that, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's been very aware. It's very much a wink and a nod to say, this is how I did it before and this is how I'm doing it again.
So there you go. You're all caught up, everyone.
There you go.
The history of Lofty and Punk Mary, or Mary the Punk.
Mary, yes. Which one's the right one? Let us know. EastEnders Week on Twitter, or EastEndersWeekly@gmail.com on the email. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. And that was a little roundup of some characters returning for a short time on This Is Your Life.
Right, so this is one of the saddest points of the week, if not in recent history, because obviously we know that Mary and Lofty are coming back, and we know why, because poor Dr. Legg had his last week on the square.
Such a shame, but, and I'll probably say this throughout this next section, probably one of the best scenes EastEnders has ever produced in a very, very long time.
It was very... very good. The last sort of 10 minutes of that Friday's episode
was brilliant.
Was very good.
Not just the last 10 minutes, though. You have to remember it wasn't just Dr. Legg. There was
like all the other bits as well. But it was all sort of old and new.
Yeah, so. Really well produced.
You say it was a shame Dr. Legg's died, but it's nice that he was able to come back and finish the character off.
Oh, I completely agree. I would have hated it if they had just... not
done it off screen or whatever.
If they'd either done it off screen or the actor had naturally died.
Like
and,
Frank.
Yeah, and so then they would have just done an episode where they would have had a funeral for the character Dr. Legg. So I'm pleased as punch that they did an actual story for him.
They've done it well because he returned in October. So we've had like a few weeks here and there where we've had stories with him and things. So,
but that's the other thing. They've done it really well as well. Instead of it just being thrown in our face.
In 1 week,
In 1 week. So we'd have to quickly remember Dr. Legg and his past and stuff. It's actually come slowly and to this climax, this crescendo this week. And even this week, they didn't make the whole week about it, which worked better because of it.
Well, that's Dr. Legg, isn't it? He's never been a full week kind of guy.
He's really unassuming, isn't he? He just kind of blends into the background.
It was really nice. And we had Sonia go visit him in the hospital because Dot wants him home.
Yeah, she's never seen so many doctors. There's a reference to an old episode.
There is, yes. Never seen a doctor on the square.
No.
Oh, Dr. Legg, you remember me? so she goes to visit him. He said to her, I'm going to see Judith today. Mm. And it's like, oh, so he like knew he was going to die that day. He knew, didn't he? And Dot wants him home, but he doesn't really want to come home.
Well, he's not convinced. He thinks he feels safe in the hospital. But Stuart, as who's now gained his wings because he's become an angel all of a sudden, took lots of photographs of the grave and also the door to prove to Dr. Legg that it is safe at her house and that everything that has been wronged has been now righted.
Mm. Yeah, really odd, the Stuart. Like, what's going to happen with Stuart now? Like, is he just going to stay at Dot's and something else?
With Dr. Legg out of the way, he can start manipulating Dot again. Yeah. So maybe he was just being nice just to get her, just it's waiting odd, his time it? For Dr. Legg to die.
Very odd, the Stuart thing. I can't work out why or what's happening with him.
It's strange because it feels like Stuart's story has ended.
Yeah, but he's still there.
And he's still there.
Yeah.
And he's becoming a bit of a Robbie character. He is, though. He just does errands for Dot.
Yeah, it's a bit odd.
Mm.
Like, we love Stuart. We love Ricky Champ. We love him and her.
Him and Her is a comedy, by the way, if that anyone doesn't. That he was in.
Love Game of Thrones. He was in an episode of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it just feels like if his story's ended, then end it. Mm. Not just drag a dead horse. But
well, or take him away for a little bit and bring him back refreshed with a new story. Yeah. It seems weird that they're keeping him bobbing about when there should be either a clean cut.
Mm.
Not to say he should go forever, because the character of Stuart is amazing and he should definitely have more to do. But the way it's being written at the moment, they seem to have lost Stuart. Kind of everything they've built up to for Stuart to become is slowly crumbling around them, and it doesn't seem to make
even
much sense.
Like with Halfway or something, or like the mum and dad visit, or I don't know, something. But
well, his daughter, his ex-wife.
Yeah,
no, it's all there to build upon.
It's all to come now that Dr. Legg has got a spare room. But he did eventually come home. Bex gets quite upset with Dr. Legg there. Yeah.
We should mention about rooms, by the way, that Dot has literally turned every room in her house into a bedroom.
B&B, that was my prediction. Yeah. That was my prediction for 2019.
That was.
It's going to be a B&B house.
But not your official prediction that you've hidden in your envelope.
Oh, no. That was a different one.
Listen to our extra episode to hear more about that.
Yes, our review of the year.
Mm.
We grade it and everything. Bex gets quite troubled by Dr. Legg. She's stolen a documentary off the internet and put it on DVD for
Dot. She's illegally downloaded a documentary that Bex found.
So just what he wants to watch when he's about to die is fascism. Something that reminds him of,
his past. But it did bring out a nice gentle monologue, which someone said on Twitter, quite rightly, that we've probably learnt more about Dr. Legg in that Friday episode than we had in the whole 35 years of knowing Dr. Legg. I mean, there was someone posted a video of 1989 when he goes back to a site where a house crumbled, and he talks about how his wife had died and they'd only been married for a year and how he loved her. And this, when watching the video about fascism, he talks about how he met his wife and how they fell in love. And it was just heart-wrenching, honestly. It was really well, the way he put it across and said it was just great, and the way that scenes that intertwined with the whole episode with that monologue was just awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Very good. Really well done. It had layers of meaning, like when the monologue was going through and they showed things about Kathy and Masood and Karen and Tiff and stuff, and some people have said, it would have been nicer if it was just Dot and Dr. Legg. But we've had about 5 people comment to us saying, why have they brought in Dr. Legg to kill him, this new character?
Yes.
And it's like, that's kind of why, I suppose, they've mixed in current storylines with an original character, because not everyone knows Dr. Legg.
A lot of younger people don't know who Dr. Legg is. And
we've had messages of people be like, who is he?
And we've explained to them.
He's only been in it a few weeks.
Yeah, and then once they know, they're like, oh, okay, I understand why there's so much emphasis on this character dying. But a lot of younger characters don't know who Dr. Legg is. And let's be honest, I don't think really they've put a lot of effort, other than he was a friend of Dot's in the past, to really hammer home that Dr. Legg was this one of the original characters from EastEnders, right back from 1985. And he was in it, like, on and off throughout the 90s and even 2000s. So he is an important character. But you're right, I think that if they had just had the scene where Dot and Dr. Legg was at the bed and he was doing this monologue, I don't think it would have as much emphasis either.
No, it would have still worked. But yeah, I suppose maybe they're trying to make it different than the Ethel and Dot. Because they were in like the same position and like the same.
Yeah, Dot was leaning over and Ethel was telling a final story. It's almost her final words that she wants the world to know.
No, really well done.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have cruelly said that Dot Cotton is the Grim Reaper of the Square because she's always there when people die.
She is. I wonder who's going to be there when she goes.
Herself.
Sonia.
Yeah, Sonia will take that reign. She is becoming like...
Stacey. Ah.
I mean, I'm dreading now because I feel it in my bones that something is, I don't know, a Dot story is imminent where she might be leaving.
Do you think?
I don't know. Sure. I don't. I think if they're going to do it, it'd be the 35th anniversary.
Oh yeah, they could do that.
I think they were testing the ground, see what people thought of Dr. Legg. Because you have to remember that they actually, well, it's not actually happened. Next week will be the anniversary, the
funeral
34th
episode, yes.
Yeah, the 34th anniversary of EastEnders. And it's the funeral episode. So that it's, and again, at least they've acknowledged it's an anniversary episode.
Yes, last year they didn't.
Last year, what was it?
It was the Magic Marv, wasn't it?
The Magic Marv episode.
I think so. Sorry,
when he woke up in the toilet and Tina had a tattoo on her leg. Happy 31st birthday, EastEnders.
Yeah.
Well
done. No, it was very good. Well done. And they had bits of a documentary and stuff. And
fascism, just to get political for a second, is seemingly becoming on the rise a little bit around the world. And so to...
Because Dr. Legg even said, you know, it's still happening to this day.
Yeah. Well, he said some brilliant lines. He said, we didn't run from it. We fought them. And he says about his wife is the girl who wouldn't run. And that's why he fell in love with her. And it was nice that EastEnders decided to reflect quite well this rise in thinking at the moment. And just to say, like, you know, it's almost a roundabout. It will never end. And we, you know, if you don't fight it and confront it head on, it will carry on. Yeah, I know. Beautiful Judith.
They could do one of those episodes. They haven't done them in ages. They could show us young Dr. Legg meeting Judith as an hour special.
Yeah, but they were meant to do that with Kat. When you saw that scene when she was getting a birthday present, they had the kaplunk. And everyone was building up to be like this big episode where they were going to do a huge flashback. And it was one scene, which lasted about 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Yeah, and it was like, I was so deflated by that. It was a huge letdown.
Dr. Legg, well done. We had a Julius theme.
Yes,
to
well
add to
deserved.
Our ongoing series of Julie's Legacy. Let's do a quick one right now. So in 2019, we had the death of Dr. Legg.
Oh, on the 15th of February.
Yeah. So he had a Julie's theme and it was really well done. And there was also a different bit of music before the Julie's theme.
They've changed. I noticed that as well. The Julie's theme is different.
Slightly.
Yeah, but it's still... it's so
wasn't
updated
it the documentary
it?
Music like for his monologue?
No.
Was that Julie's?
Oh, you mean the piano keys playing?
Yeah. And then it went into Julie's theme.
Yeah, but when they went into Julie's theme, the theme was different. I've heard it enough to know that's a different theme. I tell you now. Mm. Honestly, they've changed it.
There's lots of different versions, as we know.
And I don't know how you guys were watching it out there, whether, but in the UK, there was no continuity announcement made afterwards either, which is very rare. So they just let you see the whole credits without any talking over it. It was really...
Well, there you go. I inserted that just then. Because we just got a message come through from someone on Twitter who said, please talk about the Julie's theme in this week's podcast. So there you go. You sent it just in time.
Oh, as we're recording.
Yeah.
Who's that from?
That was Katie Jarvis fan of Hayley's.
Thank you very much for that quick tweet.
So now we're running over. So, but yeah, lovely end to Dr. Legg. I can't wait to see Tuesday's episode with Punk Mary and Lofty and the funeral and all of that. That's
I'm so looking
so
forward
special.
To it. I mean, this is it. This is the exciting part now. We're on Transition Hill.
We are. Right. So next up, we have the Slater storyline, which again is another one of the most heart-wrenching storylines. Because Jean has gone to the doctors and there's a lump and she needs more tests and things, but she's sort of keeping it to herself. But it's just... Oh, this storyline is just horrible.
Oh my god, you got really emotional. Huge intake of breath.
I need to breathe. I need to breathe and scream.
Yeah, Hunter, yeah, you need to breathe, Ben. I need to scream.
But she's doing it so well already.
Oh, and I knew she would.
Yeah.
I knew she would.
Yeah, and the moment when Tiff was doing her makeup for her, and she says, oh, I look okay, actually. Mm. And it's like, oh, My heart does break. It is really affecting me, this storyline.
Oh, big time. It's the fact that Jean is aware that she doesn't know for certain she has ovarian cancer.
No.
But she's aware that the doctors are doing further tests, so it's likely. Mm. And she doesn't want to burden the family. It's similar to when she found out the secret of Hayley and Kat and Alfie. She doesn't want to burden the family. She wants to keep it to herself because she wants to keep the family one unit and happy.
Stable, yeah.
Yeah, and she feels like her news will just break it down again. I mean, the Slaters have had a really horrendous year. Mm. They really have.
Poor Jean, she's been stressed like non-stop and now she's got this.
Mm.
But it's really showing how amazing Jean is and the character and the actress. I'm looking forward to the storyline, but it is difficult to watch.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to break me. I just know it. Mm. I mean, I knew this was going to be just a well-portrayed story, and the writing seems to be following it too. So I'm really looking forward to how this is going to span out. It's nice to see Shirley and Jean, the friendship, come back together again.
Yeah, it's nice that they're hinting at that again, because they used to be really good friends. They're not really hinted at it last year. Shirley knows something's wrong.
Mm.
She knows Jean. She knows it's not just stress, or it's not just Cherry. Or did you notice that Shirley called her Sherry?
Yes, she said it, and it wasn't Sherry. Corrected. But it wasn't corrected either. Yeah, it was really... Probably because Shirley was thinking of Sherry, to be perfectly honest.
Well, Big Mo is trying to, like, keep all the family happy. They went to, a night out and on Valentine's Day and got in on Martin and Stacey's date. And Jean was getting drunk.
Jean was getting very drunk, as was Kat. Kat was flirting with the guy who bought one of Mo's t-shirts.
Yeah.
Talking of Mo's t-shirts, I saw a little bit of familiarity going on here. Mo and Kush both had the same idea about Valentine's Day. Mm. Very similar views, that it's all about the money. And Mo was like, it's about the money. And and Mo was really, she was nodding away. She was going, yes, Kush, I'm up for that. I agree.
Kush's next romance. Maybe. We all thought maybe it was Karen, but no, going older.
He loves the older ladies.
She's 1 year younger than Dot.
But there you go.
Every time anyone on the EastEnders says anything about needing money or want the money, I just have Punk Mary in my head now. Need the money?
It's like a devil on your shoulder, isn't it?
Money. So yeah, Stacey and Martin as well, they touched upon them. They're happy this week.
Stacey's
still horrible.
Stacey was moody because Martin had a card, and then it was a card for Kush that was sent from Carmel.
I know. She was like, I don't care. Who was it from?
Yeah. And Martin didn't help by playing up to the fact. They gave each other Valentine's Day cards, and Martin did a funny moon pig card where he had a picture of his head on a muscly body, and Stacey was like, ooh, lovely.
Reminds me of Kush.
Yeah.
A few years ago. But he got them away from the Slaters because Slaters were interrupting their date. Their dates always get interrupted. So he took her away to Arthur, R.I.P., Arthur's shed.
The allotment, yeah.
And he kitted it all out for all sorts. Well, luckily, Stuart's not sleeping in there still.
Well, and also, I hope he asked permission from Patrick because, Patrick's shed.
How is it Patrick's shed? Surely it's Arthur's shed, so he gave it to Martin.
Well, it's Patrick.
Everyone seems to own it somehow.
Yeah, it's Patrick and Ted's, isn't it? Because it's actually Ted's because it's his allotment space. Because he grows Joyce vegetables. And
Joyce cabbages
that grow from the ground and make a little whine sound as they do. And yeah, so they must have got permission because he's turned it into a right little nookie den.
Mm.
And they're having a good
Lights
night.
And all sorts,
well, so they sent photos to Kush about sort of the love they were making.
That was really weird.
I thought that was really
like
odd.
An after sex selfie to Kush.
They were both under the blanket, weren't they?
And yeah, Kush was like,
yeah, I know. Well, I'd be like that
too.
It's
a bit weird, yeah.
But would you send a photograph after the act of love to someone to say, hey, look what I've just done? I've had sex.
What are you up to?
Yeah, yeah.
Just bizarre. But they had that weird storyline in the summer where they were doing it in the shed and in the van and stuff, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're a bit voyeuristic, aren't they, Stacey and Martin? They
like to upped it a bit and put some lights on and candles.
Some Christmas lights and a bed.
Yeah.
So do you reckon that's going to reopen again? That the only way Stacey and Martin can be in love is if they are a bit more adventurous with their spaces of lovemaking?
Maybe. Dot's kitchen table.
Oh, please never remind me of that. It's disgraceful.
But mainly about Jean this week, and she has some great scenes. And we know sad things are going to come.
I mean, we can't really talk much more about it because we're still waiting, or Jean's still waiting for the results, but Jean is devastated.
Like the 20-something of February, she has an appointment on her phone, she said.
Is that when Sean returns?
It won't be immediately, I don't think. It'll probably be right in the heat of it all, I guess.
Because it's Sean who's the first one who is told. He finds out from Jean, doesn't he?
It's an exclusive.
Oh, sorry, I believe that's right. Don't Take that as gospel. Sorry, mm-hmm. I believe that's right.
All I know is that Sean and Jack have a fight.
Good.
Right, so next up, we've got a brand new game.
Another week, another new game. Mm.
Working title is Libby Fox's Degree of Excellence. Libby Fox's Degree of Excellence. We know that she's...
So good, you named it twice.
You know that she's the only one to go to university from Wolford.
Mm.
No one else in the whole of Wolford has done that. So she is the top tier of excellence.
Okay.
And let's see if you can match that.
Oh, right. So what are the rules?
I'm going to ask you a series of questions. They're multiple choice. Don't worry. Mm. Not too difficult. And you just have to give me the correct answer. So all of these questions are from things that happened during the week.
Okay.
So I hope you were keeping a good eye on all the things going on.
So there's a Q&A of the week's events.
Yes, ish. Ooh. Right, so are you ready?
Yep.
Right, so question one. What meal did Mel cook Hunter and Louise when they didn't need any knives to prepare it? Was it A, cereal, B, pasta, C, a pizza, or D, pot noodles?
I don't want to question your own game here, but I think you'll find they didn't need any knives to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have used a knife to prepare it perhaps, but they couldn't use a knife to eat it. And I believe that meal was a pasta bake with two garlic breads.
That's right, B, pasta.
Thank you very much.
They get a lot harder from here on. That was an easy starter one.
That's what she said.
Question number two. How much money did Mitch steal from Patrick? Was it A, £1,800? B, £2,800. C, £3,800. Or D, £4,800.
Right, so he won the money on a horse race. And it was enough money that he could post it in a brown envelope and post it through the letterbox.
It's a lot of notes.
It was. But if they're all £50 notes, then they would slide quite easily through any letterbox.
Standard letterbox. A standard letterbox. British post office.
Mm. A British post office that you buy from the British post office. I think that it was, because it was for Du Bois, wasn't it, originally? He was going to go abroad, and so it would have been enough for him to go on holiday. So I think it was £2,800.
B, £2,800?
Yep.
That's correct.
Thank you very much.
Question three. How many boxes of chicken did Evie hand out to the gang?
Mm-hmm.
Was it A, 4, B, 5, C, 6, or D, 7?
Oh, I thought you were going to go left field there and say D, 100. Right, so how many people
around
how many people were around the table? So there were four around the table, and Dennis had a box, who was the fifth. But one of the members didn't get... Well, I forget her name now. But
Vix.
It was Vix. Vix didn't get a box. So I'm going to say, what was it? A, 4.
Oh, no. C, 6.
Really? Oh, yeah. Because of Evie, 5. Well, who was the sixth one?
There was a person on the other table behind Vix who got a box.
Wow.
Vix didn't get one.
All right.
And there was Tiff, Styx, Dennis, and another guy.
Right. So do you think the guy who was behind them has been upgraded now to the main table?
I think he's taken Vix's.
Vix's place.
Yeah.
I thought I'd help you there. Okay, that's all right. I'm good. I'm 2 for 3.
Right, so number four. What date is the wedding anniversary for Dot and Jim? Is A, 14th of February, B, 15th of February, C, the 17th of February, or D, the 19th of February?
I'm sorry, but this is a bit easy, this one. It's Valentine's Day, the 14th of February.
That's correct. A, number five.
Mm-hmm.
What flavour milkshake was Tiffany drinking in the cafe when she was eavesdropping on Louise and Bex talking? Was it A, banana, B, vanilla, C, chocolate, or D, strawberry?
Now, first of all, it's never referenced, I don't think. She doesn't order the milkshake, so it'd have to be noticeable by colour.
Mm-hmm. That could be any of them.
No, because vanilla and banana are quite similar.
Banana's
colours.
Yellow, and vanilla is white.
No, vanilla is a kind of white. Creamy yellow mm-hmm. colour. I don't know what vanilla you're eating. Right. But, and also she wants to be a bit like Evie, and Evie loves her strawberry yogurt drinks.
Yeah, that's a trick question.
So No, I think she's had a strawberry milkshake.
To you, a pink one.
A pink one.
She had a D strawberry milkshake.
Thank you very much. She wants to be like her idol, her lover, her secret mother.
Right, and the last question. Question 6. On Friday's episode, how many times did Tiff check her phone to see if Evie had called her?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Was it A, 5 times, B, 6 times, C, 7 times, or D, 8 times?
You really must play around with the numbers a little bit more here. You should make the D like a completely outrageous number.
No, so we'll give it away.
Okay. Well, there's still 3 more options. Right, so she checked her phone. The only one I remember is she checked her phone twice in the kitchen when she was having that conversation with Whitney. Mm-hmm. So that's 2. She went to the cafe and she saw Dennis. Maybe that would have been an occasion. She was
in a monologue.
She was in Legs monologue. That would be a 4. She was in the street a couple of times. I mean, I'm imagining it would be every time there was a scene with her, she would be looking at her phone. And I'm trying to add up how many scenes she was
they
in.
They filmed 12 scenes a day.
Oh, that's right.
Block stories.
But
6 on location. She was on location quite a lot.
Are you telling me how many scenes she's in?
No, I'm just saying. Do the math.
I think, well, I can't because I can't remember exactly how many scenes she's in. I think she was in 7 scenes.
Right.
During the episode.
Did she check her phone every time?
I would have thought so because they're not subtle with hammering things home, are they? So I'm going to say 7. 7
Ooh,
times.
C7.
Yeah.
That's incorrect. It was A, 5 times.
Oh, really? Not that many?
So it's been 2 scenes where they were setting it up.
I mean, don't quote me that she was in 7 scenes. I'm just thinking it was around about that.
Well, there you go.
Well, I was quite proud of that. I'm not
4 out of 6.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a first, but
it's
I would certainly
say
it's a
degree
2.
Degree of excellence, no.
It's a 2-1. It's a 2-1 degree.
It's a Bex.
It's a
not a Robbie.
Degree of Bexcellence. There you go. You said it was a working title.
Yeah, it's not as bad as a Robbie, but it's not a Libby.
I mean, did Robbie even go to college?
Well, that's if you get 0.
That'd be a good game.
If you get 1, you get a Gus.
Oh, leave Gus alone. Poor Gus.
There you go. That was a new game.
It was a good
game. Keep your eyes peeled for things going on in the future, because I might be asking you about them.
Mm. I wonder if anyone at home did better than me.
Yes, let us know. Write down your scores and send them to us, and we'll see if you got a better grade than Alex.
Yeah, on Twitter, at EastEnders Week. Or email eastendersweekly@gmail.com.
Or our Facebook group. Just search EastEnders Weekly Podcast. And that was Libby Fox's Degree of Excellence. Well, there you go. You'll do your second year shortly.
I'm quite proud of my pass, though.
Mm.
What did I get? 4 out of 6?
Yeah.
6. What's that as a percentage? I can't work stuff like this out.
Anyway, we are talking about next. We've got quite a nice story with Bailey, Mitch, Karen. And we learned quite a bit about Bailey this week, which was shocking and surprising, but also good.
Yeah.
I thought, I haven't seen this storyline before.
No. A young carer having to look after her mum. This was a big plot point, basically, that they've now introduced about Bailey and Mitch. I mean, so Mitch, I'm presuming that's his ex-wife or
his must be.
Girlfriend.
And they sort of showed Mitch being quite hard on Bailey.
Yeah.
And not letting her get away with him or being pushed around and kicking a ball at her and stuff.
Yeah, well,
her and it went straight into someone's arse.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It went into that guy and the guy didn't react at all. I genuinely thought that must be a reaction somewhere, but no, not
that
at all.
That was funny.
It was funny though, yeah. No reaction whatsoever.
And like you had little hints since we've seen Bailey about they've said a few things about her mum and the school phoned up and said about her mum and things, so they like did a big reveal, which I thought, oh, they're going about to reveal like a character we know as her mum.
I did too. I thought it would be a known character,
because like they did this real thing where they focused on Bailey in the flat and you could hear the mum but not see her. And I was like, who could it be? I was trying to work out, but no, it was a new character. I think she was credited as Dana on the credits,
okay.
I think. But yeah, it turned out that she's like wheelchair bound.
Well, she's paraplegic, isn't she? So she can't do much for herself. It looks as though she can't move or like she's maybe broken her neck or something like that, or her back. And so she's lost all movement. And so Bailey is her carer.
Yeah, which is a massive thing. Like, you know, like children need and things. They always show videos and VTs of child carers, and there's loads of them in the country, which they never get any help or never get a break from it and things. So this sort of makes sense to this football storyline, I guess.
It makes sense to this football storyline. It also makes sense why you see Bailey is such a good organiser and arranging things.
And she's quite grown up.
Yeah, so adult for her young age. And it was really sweet also when she came home and her mum said, oh, did you have a good time? Because Mitch had taken her and Keegan to the arcade because he was trying to make up for lost time with Keegan, but also he promised Bailey a day out. And Bailey was like, yeah, I had the best time. And then quickly corrected herself and said, oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean, it was fun. Yeah, thanks. So not to make her mum feel bad and guilty for not being able to do all these things with her. I thought that was such a lovely character from Bailey. Bailey's character, I absolutely love. I love her character.
They've done really well with the casting. She's really good. She's
the actress, fantastic. I mean, say again, a year ago, or let's go back to Halloween when we had
Amy,
Ricky, and Will, and we had to ordeal that annoying storyline over Halloween, and then this character Bailey.
It's a big storyline to put on like a small child's shoulders. She is a young actress, isn't she? But yeah, she's really good.
She is pulling it off tremendously. Really, really well done.
What do you think about Mitch? Because I know that everyone seems to be raving about him. And I don't not like him.
No.
Don't get me wrong. I think he's fine. But like, there's just something, I don't know what it is, that when he's on screen, I don't tend to pay attention to. I don't know. There's something about him that I just can't connect with.
Yeah, he seems to go hot and cold quite quickly. And you obviously meant to see him as a kind of a cheeky character. He flirts with all the women.
I do not like the fact that they're hooking him and Denise up.
And I don't like also that he's still not really apologised for stealing the money from...
The money!
He stole the money from Patrick. And because he's been found out this
week.
He sort of
just brushed it off, didn't he? And said, oh, I'll do some work for you.
Well, no, he didn't even suggest doing work. Bailey said, oh, he can make up... Again, Bailey, adult head on her shoulder, said, he can make it up with a few jobs around the house for you. But he really chastised Bailey for suggesting that. Kind of dismissed it, like, oh, why did you say that? And it's like... Well, no, she's right. Your conscience should have...
Yeah.
But he didn't even apologise for it.
No.
So I don't... It's hard to root for him.
But yeah. He's like a cheeky chap and he's nice, but then he's a bit mean to Bailey. But then he's like a good friend for Mick. But yeah, I mean, he's a great actor. And I know he's really popular, but I just can't seem to attach anything to him, really.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. You're not able to attach a kind of a proper... thought about him. He seems to be a little bit of everything at the moment, and so he needs to be one thing and then go down that path. I mean, I don't dislike Mitch. I really don't dislike
Mitch. Nor do I. That's the thing. But I do like him as a character. But then when I see him on screen, I don't pay attention.
You switch off. I'm like you. I switch off when his scenes comes up. When Bailey's in the scene, I'm there. I'm 100% there. And Keegan as well, because I rate him as well.
It's almost like I don't believe anything he's saying, so I don't bother listening.
I'm almost, same.
Kind of.
Again.
I sort of had that with Stuart when he was in it, and you never knew if he was lying about his parents.
Yeah.
It's that same sort of thing. And maybe that's why.
I'm not so concerned about whether Mitch is lying all the time, but it's more that I'm not sure whether the character will stay. I'm not sure if the character will stay. And because I'm not sure if the character's going to stay, I don't want to invest any time in him just yet.
Yeah.
While with Bailey, I could see...
They're obviously building something up with that.
And I can see her maybe becoming more of a main character. Perhaps Karen will take her into her house.
Well, I was wondering, they showed Denise and her sort of having a bit of bonding. And like she looks up to her a bit. So I was wondering whether they're hooking up Denise and Mitch and Denise is going to take it upon herself to...
Yeah, but why would Denise...
about caring for
But
the
why
mum?
Would Denise... Well, maybe caring for the mum, but why would... Denise wouldn't take on Bailey because she gave away her own
child. If she finds out that she's, caring for her mum, that might then lead... Because she's jobless at the moment. Is she going to be,
a home carer
or something? Maybe. She's trained to do that. Went through my mind. Maybe something like that.
That's true. That's an in for Denise. So to get a bit of money up and start work again.
And, I mean, is it going to bring back feelings of her adopted son? Because that's been mentioned... So yeah, there's a few things that could go on there, but not only did we find out about Bailey being like a child carer, she's also cottoned on to Dennis. She's got him numbered.
Yeah,
because we had Taylors versus the Mitchells in the park in the square.
That's right, at the end of the week, because Karen is still very concerned about Keanu missing. And he hasn't even Ben, he hasn't even updated his fantasy football team since he's left, and he does that every day. I mean, they could have. I mean, I don't see Keanu as a person who uses social media. He's openly said that he doesn't like using it. But you think there was something, I don't know, fantasy something football. Better, is there? Yeah. Do you really spot someone changing their fantasy football team all the time? I don't know how it works, but do you change it all the time?
Like, Keanu's not really been interested in football, is he? Really?
Well, I imagine he might be interested in football, but it's more the fact that if you pick a fantasy football team, surely that's it. That's your team set, and then, until there's like the transfer window, and then you change them again. You can't constantly change your team. I don't think that's how it works.
I've never. I'm just thinking of what I might know. I don't know, but they could have said something a bit different.
I mean, like Facebook, just a Facebook. It's like maybe he doesn't have to check it every day, but it's like, oh, he at least looks at it once a day.
Louise,
or something like that.
Louise liked my picture.
Oh, he's fit, so that's why he's my boyfriend. But Louise did say this week, I think I mentioned already, that Keanu is dead to her now.
Well, she said last week to Phil, kill him, and then Phil gets rid of him, and then she's all like, why have you done that, Dad?
Oh yeah, this week she's like, you just do not understand me, do you? And it's like, no one understands you, Louise. No one. 1 minute you're hot, 1 minute you're cold, 1 minute you want this, 1 minute you don't. Yeah. It's just nutty.
And that's when Dennis was listening in.
Yes.
And then he tells Bailey.
For a
he,
cost.
Yeah, £10.
£10.
But which she then gave to Tiff, which I thought was like really weird.
But Dennis did, yeah. Yeah. But that was for the Evie story.
I know,
what's
£10 going to do?
Look, £10 is £10.
What, get another box of chicken?
Every little helps. But I loved that Bailey proper outsmarted Dennis, because Dennis was like, number one, he's not my dad. And number two, I don't grasp on family. And Bailey's like, well, if he's not your dad, he's not your family. And it's like, yes, Bailey. I mean, anyone who and it doesn't take much to outsmart Dennis. Let's be honest. He spent 2 weeks walking around with a drone going, ooh, drone. But it was nice to see someone outsmart that Dennis in such a spectacular way.
In 10 years' time, they're going to be a couple on the square.
With Dennis and Bailey?
Yep. Dirty Dennis.
Boozy Bailey. She'll turn to drink because she can't handle him anymore.
So yeah, she then told Karen. We had a great scene when Karen found out that Keanu is doing a dodgy deal.
Yes.
It's a proper dodge.
And this is when Sharon was desperately trying to find some wine. She'd already drunk through her first
in her
bottle.
Cupboard. So that cupboard's so funny.
I know. Her warm white wine.
She always puts it into a mug.
No, she put it in a glass.
Not this week, but normally it's in a mug. And she drops the bottle on the floor because Karen came storming through.
I know. I mean, that was... You saw the scene, proper... Yeah, vicious Karen. I
loved
it.
Letitia Dean looked surprised, like, what? Oh, I forgot this was happening.
I loved her really smoky cough as well after having...
But, she's threatening. She says, find out where Keanu is, otherwise I'm telling.
48 hours. Mm-hmm. 48 hours on telling Phil
nicely
everything.
To her next week.
Exactly. Nice. That's about the length of a weekend. Unfortunately, there's no episode on Monday, which is annoying. But still.
But yeah, so that's exciting. She's blackmail everywhere from this affair. So it made me laugh that the wine bottle smashed on the floor. And she was like, Louise is just next door. But Louise didn't bother to come and check.
Well, knowing Louise, she had her earbuds in and she was probably listening to us. That's broken the fourth wall, hasn't it?
I don't like that.
Okay, what would Louise be listening to? She's probably listening to
Bex's new YouTube song.
Do you reckon Bex has released it on iTunes?
No, just YouTube.
Just YouTube.
A video of her in her bedroom with a pillow on her lap.
Singing about...
Shaquille.
No, fascism.
Oh, yeah. All that.
That's what she'd be singing about now. She's over Shaquille. She was over Shaquille after the funeral, to be fair.
But yeah, so exciting. Blackmail, 48 hours, find out where Keanu is. I do want to know what he's doing.
Same.
Putting money in tyres to then drive it back to England.
Well, no, I'm presuming it's drug related.
Yeah, but there was money in the tyres, remember? In all four tyres.
That's true. I mean, there's a rumour I read on Twitter. You can always rely on Twitter. That you're going to find out that... this is a silly rumour, but I liked it when I read it.
Right.
That
It's not like my Kate Oakes tips from a few weeks ago, which were all amazing and official.
Sadly not. No, this is unofficial. That Phil is actually the guy who's controlling... He's the puppeteer of Evie.
What, Phil?
Yeah.
Surely it would be like Aiden or something.
And he finds out that Dennis... Aiden's the most likely one. Aiden's the one I think it is too. Yeah. But he finds out that Dennis is involved and he shuts it down.
And the whole of the drug
ring. All his money. I mean, I did say it's a very far-fetched theory, but
Phil's
I saw
not
it.
Really into drug dealing, is he? That's not Phil's
game. He likes the smack.
Not anymore, he's clean.
That's true. This is probably the longest Phil's ever been clean.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's done
He'll probably
right.
have a drink before the Shiani thing gets revealed. And then he'll get a baseball bat and walk
no, because
the
he's,
square.
He's quite good now. Like when he found that Louise slept with Hunter.
He got a baseball bat and went
to
the
he didn't drink. He didn't down a drink,
did he?
He
didn't need a drink anymore, does he?
He put away the orange juice, put it in the fridge, got his baseball bat and off he went.
Well, that's what we've got to look forward to in 48 hours, if we're not careful, Sharon.
Yes.
She's got to work her ways.
Better get your running trainers on.
Get her extensions on and her eyelashes on, and she'll need some answers.
Well, maybe put the glass of wine down for 5 seconds and perhaps talk to your husband.
Or get Phil drunk and get it out of him that way.
No, that'd be dark. That would be... Oh, no, don't. I don't want that. I don't want Sharon to turn
desperate.
Into that.
Sharon's desperate. Next up, talking about desperate, we have got Masood and Kathy. Which, because we know Masood's leaving, it's annoying me a lot.
It was a bit of a waste of time storyline.
Literally, this week, it reminds me of Poochie on The Simpsons when he says, I've got to go now, and then he just disappears. That's basically Masood.
What, the cell gets lifted up and he just goes up into space?
Masood just leaves. Because he's not in it anymore.
Love that. I would love Masood to just get onto a rocket and just fly away from the square.
It's so bizarre. They did this whole thing about them getting back together. We haven't heard from it for months. Since August when the restaurant opened. Then it went quiet. She got out of a taxi last week and they're back together. Bonking twice a night. Ian's accepted it. He's now gone.
Masood called him daddy.
Yeah. Now Masood wants to live in Australia with Nancy and Tamwar for some reason.
He has a thing about
following them.
Well, basically, going to his children and basically.
He was a third wheel before he left. Yeah. He went travelling with them. But they're not living in Australia, are they? They're just travelling. But getting married in Australia. So what's he going
to
do?
Well, continue travelling, I guess. But unless he's going there for the wedding and then planning to stay in Australia.
He said he has to be with Tam, my family, and you have to be with your family.
But also, I know. Sharon was able to somehow get a ticket to Australia within 10 hours.
Yeah, a ticket, but not live permanently.
Yeah, there's a little matter, Masood, of a visa. And Australia are notorious for having quite strong
rules. Yeah, he's not got a trade or anything.
Yeah. No trade. It was
samosa,
a chef.
A samosa recipe.
Well, there you go. That's what he did. He said,
I've got a samosa.
I've got a samosa recipe. You are in. Stamped. Gone. Yeah.
I know, he decided to leave. They say in the press officially that it was planned. No, it wasn't.
No.
This is clearly was not planned because they set up this big romance and then a week later he's moving to Australia.
I think, funnily enough though, I do think, because they always knew that the actor, Neenan, I forget his surname, but he was wanting to only do it for a short term. Kind of doing it for John
York.
That's
a lie. That is a lie. That's not. It can't be true.
Well, but because he went out a few months ago to do a play, he did a second play.
I think he decided to leave, and they're just saying it was planned. Have been planned. Because why would they have written it like this?
I wouldn't blame him for wanting to leave. Let's be honest, because they really haven't given him anything to do.
They could have given him a cafe and romance months ago, though.
Yeah, but I'm not even into this story anymore.
I didn't mind it, actually. When they were actually together, they worked quite well together, him and Kathy. But now it's just bizarre.
No, I'm exhausted by it. And they just... And it's like Kathy brought up this week. I think he just wants... I don't know, he's got some kind of weird fetish of wanting to destroy Ian Beale somehow. Yeah. So he did it with Jane, and now he's doing it with Kathy. And I don't think...
And now he sold his half of the restaurant to his arch nemesis.
Exactly. Again, of to upset people. Ian Beale. Which really makes Masood into this really quite nasty character.
No, I don't think he would have done that. Especially when he's dating his mum.
Yeah.
It's just weird. And the fact that... Let's talk about Max buying half the restaurant.
Well, he does
even though he's going away for 3 months.
He does do a passing line when he asks Masood to send him the finances so he can see the profit. Yeah. Because this business is miraculously making billions of pounds every day.
And how's Max affording it?
Well, yeah, and then there's that. So Max says, I don't know if I should. We've got a history, Ian and I. It's that's an alarm bell.
He murdered
right
his son. And tried to murder his ex-wife.
Yeah, and then made his ex-wife leave and blackmailed her. And had his son, Bobby, threatened in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bit of a history between you. Yeah, you're right there.
But the figures are good, so.
It's worth the money.
So I'm not looking forward to this. I'm hoping Max doesn't buy it.
No, Max has bought it.
Yeah, but Ian's away. For a few months.
But it's his share, so he's got no invested interest.
Yeah. So Masood was running it, he's now sold it. Max has bought it, but he's in France. Does Max have any cooking skills?
No, that's true.
Was he just going to be a...
But that was the whole premise of the company, wasn't it? It was a fusion
Westmead
restaurant.
East, yeah,
Westmead East. So what's Max going to bring to the table? I'm trying
affairs.
To think. Yeah. Pizzas.
Brothel. Don't do a brothel. So, it's stupid. We know that the two Ahmed sisters are arriving next week.
Yes, very excited about that.
And apparently they help run the restaurant on behalf of Masood while he's away.
But that makes no sense because Masood doesn't own it anymore.
Why not? So maybe Max backs... I hope Max backs out, like,
who's
off-screen.
Running who is running Wolford East then?
Exactly, because Ian's not there.
And
so Masood
is leaving...
Kathy and her calf.
But Kathy was planning to get cover so she could go away for another 6 weeks in Australia. So imagine if she had gone away. That would have left Masood gone, Ian gone.
The two new army sisters who don't know anyone. I'll run it.
We'll run it, it's fine. Why not?
They come back and it's a gay bar.
That'd be fine by me, that'd be fun.
So yeah, I mean, they had Kathy and Masood like break up mutually over a coffee table. While Dr. Legg was like doing a monologue and things.
Masood did try to convince Kathy one last time by making her an Australian meal, which consisted of an Australian white wine and prawns.
Yeah, and he bought it in the minute mark when he has a restaurant.
Yeah, true.
He couldn't have got the wine from the restaurant. That annoyed me. And Honey's being a bit silly again, but that's not much.
Well,
to talk about.
Yes, that's Honey, the dentist. It's just been swept under the carpet.
But yeah, they decided to break up consciously because she wants to be there for her family. He had to be there for his family.
Yes, they both agreed that they've done too many mistakes to now not walk away from their family.
Couldn't he have moved to Brighton to be with his son? That would be a bit more normal than Australia with Kathy.
Yeah, a little less extreme, perhaps.
Yeah. But he bought her a necklace.
That's true, but not as fancy as the necklace that Ben had stolen for her, which again has just kind of been forgotten. Kathy wore that necklace that Ben bought her every day. She'd wore it to work, she wore it to the pub. I mean, we made a joke that the green from the fake gold was rubbing onto her neck, and now it's just gone again. I mean, this is just...
And she's holding onto Masood's necklace.
Yeah.
Rubbing it and looking at him during monologue.
The necklace we're talking about, of course.
Mm.
Yes. Ooh, okay.
Not Masood.
No.
But yeah, so that's obviously that now. I think Masood leaves next week, so we need Kathy's new storyline to start. We've really just got her back and our storyline's ended.
Yeah. I mean, it's good, though, because I'm really, as we said, building up the bills. So it's the first step, I feel.
Ben's back, and she gets to meet her grandson. Or no, her granddaughter soon with Lola and Lexi, so...
Yeah, that's really soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really
so
soon.
Lots of storylines for Kathy, but no love.
No love. Well,
Kush is single. Kathy and Kush. Kath and Kush. Yeah.
KK.
Kath and Kush in Australia. That's a sitcom,
Kish.
Isn't it?
We could call him Kish. What would Big Mo and Kush be? Mush.
Mush. Big Mush.
Or Co. Mushko.
Anyway.
Right.
So that's the end. Oh my God, we made it. Yeah. Just.
I mean, I'm lucky we've had lots to talk about this week. Next week, it's only 3 episodes.
Mm.
So we might be struggling a little bit.
That'd be fine. We'll have some chocolate and coffee and we'll be well away.
Good plan. But do you know what else helps us build up the show? That's people's tweets and emails and messages on Facebook to us. So it's time for us to see who won the week.
You know me, I ain't one to gossip.
So this is normally where I say who won in past years. But we're too busy this week.
We're too busy. We have
too many storylines.
Yeah, we really are short on time.
Bring back the block storytelling, please. No, don't.
I mean, that's another thing we've been mentioning before we start the show. We talked to each other about they've kind of pittered out. Like characters are intertwining
characters walking
a lot more.
All over the place.
Fantastic. It's like they've got free will. So normally we do the past stories from this time a few years back. But as we said, we're not much
be back
time
next week.
Be back next week.
Lots of detail.
But instead, we're going to just go straight into who won the week. And as every week, at the end of Friday's episode, we ask you which character had won the week through their stories, their acting, and generally how they were portrayed in the week of the episode. And we had lots of reactions from people. We asked you who won the week out of Dr. Legg, Jack, Jean, or Bailey, or Dot. We had 5 this week, and you could vote on Twitter, our Facebook group, and our Instagram page. And I'd just like to let you know that there was a added one by one of our listeners as well. So I shall go through them. So who do you think won the week? Might as well start. Who won the week?
Dr. Legg, because this is last week.
It was Dr. Legg with a landslide with 84 votes. 53% of the votes was Dr. Legg. In second was Jean with 41 votes at 26%. Third place was Bailey, 13
votes.
She's
always third, isn't she? Mm. Never quite gets it.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. So she had 8%. Jack was last, but Dot was fourth with 11 votes at 7%. Jack was last with 9 votes at 6%, but not very last because someone threw in this suggestion. Sharon's new hat.
We haven't talked about her hat.
Well, should we quickly? Sharon's new beret.
I know.
Her beautiful
that come
hat.
From? Like when she went shopping with Louise, she bought it. Louise picked it out for her.
Louise is
and
so
it's black,
high fashion.
Of course
it is. She looks like her outfit. She looks like a little French artist. Yeah, Sharon's new hat got one vote. So thank you for that. But obviously because of that came last place. So right, a few comments starting off with Twitter. The Mona Cassidy at Joan Collins Wig said, I think Sharon's new hat has won the week. So that was the vote.
Ah.
At Hufflepuff Lock said, Dr. Legg is a legend. So loved, despite not having many stories for himself and not being on the square in recent years. He has definitely won the week with our hearts broken. So that was nice as well. Facebook, we had a few messages as well. So on our Facebook group, Abby Lewis said, Bailey is probably the best kid character to join the square in a long time. Leslie King said Dr. Legg, of course. And Mary Duplessis, I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong, said when Ian apologised to Jean and she responded with I don't care and then laughing face. I mean, we forgot to mention that Jean was apologised to and at by Ian. Mm. And Ian basically had a new tummy button torn, to put it politely, by her, saying that he's a very selfish and ignorant person.
He did. Right, so we've got a few comments through our social medias and emails and things. So we've got Vicky Tucker who says, I'm loving the podcast. Only discovered it at Christmas, but I'm planning to listen to all the old ones at some point. Now watch out there.
I was going to say, don't go too far back.
We kept them open for everyone if you want to, but watch out. Been obsessed with EastEnders since I was a kid, so it's exciting to hear others who love it so much too. I'm loving all the one-liners. Phil sorting himself out. Wink. And Masood and Kathy going at it twice. It's pure filth.
Thank you very much. I was going to say, I would suggest if you're going to listen back, listen to the extra episodes, because they're not obviously rooted in plot that happened in the weeks before either.
We've got fan fiction, which is 18 only.
That's it. And we've got a great interview with Sean Mahan.
And Rebecca Scrogg.
And Rebecca Scrogg. Look out for the Tosh. Rebecca Scrogg. Yeah, she's played there. By Tosh.
She was on holiday in France at the time when she did it. So.
She had a dog barking the whole time. We want to throttle that dog.
Kieran Smith says, I like Masood, but what was he brought back for beyond his aunt and uncle? As for Max and Ian being partners, it's as if their entire history is being forgotten. If they don't know what to do with Max, just write him out. I concur. I think it is Max's end of his character, I feel, by now.
I mean, there's scope, I guess, with the Ian story now with the restaurant, but really, they're really stretching him out now.
Let's get rid of him.
And he's had such a bad past. It's really difficult to redeem Max.
Mm.
Really difficult.
Pat Hanavan says, who decides to sell up, break off a budding relationship, and move around the world in the space of a day? Ridiculous. Looking at you, Masood.
I know. He needs that visa.
And Rob Innes says, beautiful ending. This is about Dr. Legg. Though I thought the actual death itself was rather abrupt from a writing perspective. It was a really nice monologue up to that point. It's as if the editors suddenly realised the next show was due on and cut him short. I thought he died like all of a sudden.
Dr. Legg?
Yeah.
No, I quite liked it.
Livened up a bit towards him when he was doing his monologue. He was speaking clearly and upright, and then he just died.
Well, no, that is true. When he was in hospital, he seemed to be almost
worse.
To the point.
Maybe Dot had a point. He's better at us. Healing powers at Dot's bedroom.
Well, healing powers and then death. So not that healing.
And Caddy Lover, who we read out every week, says they've given us a rating for our extra episode where we review the year.
Oh, right. Yeah, because we asked you to send in your rating, a grade, a school grade in the old-fashioned A to F system.
So they said, I think a C minus or a D plus for 2018 is fair.
Oh, that's what you said.
Mm. Some good moments, but overall very messy and lacking in direction. I preferred 2017 despite the bins.
Okay. Well, I think we're both on a similar path. We had a question sent in to us as well, which we said we would answer on the show, from at Irish Terrence STL. So we're going to quickly give an answer. If you could transfer any current soap star to EastEnders, who would it be and why? So go on.
I had this written down, but I purposely didn't read it out because I couldn't think of one that quickly. Let me think. I'm going to slightly cheat and choose not necessarily a soap, but Bad Girls, which...
It was kind of a soap in the end.
It's like a women's prison. Mm-hmm. I quite like a few characters from there.
Well, you've got one. Oh, you've got two, Tina and Shirley.
Yeah. And Linda.
Yeah, and Linda.
But actually playing the characters. But the officer, Sylvia, that actress would be great on EastEnders. It's like an old body bag, like a Lou Bill sort.
Mm.
I know that Tanya's already been on it because she was with Max. Mm. So there's loads, and like the two Julies have both been in it. One played Gary's mum.
Right.
And one played the mum of Mandy Salter. So quite a lot. But maybe the guy who played Jim Fenner could come in and be like a villain.
Oh, not Jim Fenner though?
No, he's dead, sadly.
Oh, okay, because I think he means like which
characters.
Well,
if Jim Fenner was still alive, Jim Fenner could come into the square. He'd be good.
Yeah, he'd be interesting.
Bit of a villain. He could get with Jean and cause a ruckus.
Oh, no, don't give Jean that.
Big Mo.
Big Mo, that's fine.
No, she can't learn a line.
I mean, if the obvious one would be if you were to bring characters from Holby City and Casualty in and they did like a kind of crossover with EastEnders, that would be the obvious answer.
What about Mercedes from Hollyoaks? Her and Kat would hate each other.
I would, yeah, I must admit, I would love to introduce some. I mean, if they're introducing a much, much more of an LGBT cast to EastEnders,
then
you'd think that the easiest route would be to distill them from Hollyoaks.
Yeah, there's loads of them.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Not Flurries. Rachel Adedoji from X Factor's on there too.
Is she?
Yeah. Thingy from Blue was on there. He could come back with Woody.
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they did a story where, like.
Simon Webb, he's on the. One of the Scottish soaps.
Oh, yeah, so he is, isn't he? I always want to, whenever they say he's on that Scottish soap, I always think of Take the High Road. Do you remember that soap?
No.
Okay. It was on the same time slot as when Emmerdale used to be a daytime soap. Anyway.
Irish Terrence, you didn't say who you wanted.
Oh, yes.
So please tweet us and tell us who you'd like to be on EastEnders from another soap.
That's a good idea. And anyone else has any opinions, tweet us at EastEnders Week. You can find us on Instagram at EastEnders Weekly Podcast. You can also find our Facebook group. If you just search EastEnders Weekly Podcast or email eastendersweekly@gmail.com.
Right. I just got one thing to say to you as well. I want everyone to listen to this bit, so I hope they listen to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, but I've sold my half of the podcast to your arch nemesis, to Jack Branning.
How dare you?